On the Ground is produced by the Global NGO Executive Committee, a storied nonprofit that has for 60 years partnered with the United Nations to guarantee a voice at the decision-making table for civil society leaders. GNEC offers services to more than 1,600 UN-vetted global NGOs, which are on the front lines of tackling the most pressing issues of our time. I'm Adrienne Berg, a member of the NGO Committee on Aging New York and the host of On the Ground. And hello, hello, hello. And today we are starting with a wonderful guest who's going to really make it clear to us what's happening with regard to the human rights of older adults. Now, we have had other interviews about this in the past, and we have learned that one of the major goals is to have a convention. Some people call that a treaty or akin to a treaty, a convention. They don't mean an event. They mean a writing that has the human rights of older persons clarified and the gaps in our rights filled. And we're going to hear a lot more about that today. And our guest is somebody who's really immersed in this. Name is Margaret Young. She is the founder of Age Noble, a Canadian social good enterprise. And Age Noble has intersectional collaborations with many groups, many of them NGOs within the UN and outside of the UN. She works with like-minded organizations such as the Global Alliance for the Rights of Older People, Pass It On Network, ASEM, Assam Global Aging Center, and many other groups. But mostly, I will tell you that I love listening to her at the Open-Ended Working Group on Aging because she is a real champion organizer with lots of hints and tips for you on how things could be made to work. So thank you, Margaret, for being with us today.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's really great to have an opportunity to chat about the older person, social justice, and the human rights.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, I think people are a little bit confused, even those in NGOs, between these definitions, the definition of a convention and a declaration. And you make it very clear in your advocacy that it is not a declaration you're looking for, but a convention on the human rights of older people. What's the difference? What's the distinction here?
Yeah, so with a declaration, it's really a declaration of principles that we want to abide by relative to human rights. It doesn't mean that it's going to be enforced necessarily into laws and legislation in our home country. So with a convention, though, once a government ratifies it, it actually becomes law within the country. And we've seen evidence of this with others, such as, you know, child rights, women rights, and so forth. So we really want to look at this particular convention because it's universal also, because that means that no matter where you and I are, anywhere in the world, no matter our economic and political social status, we are accorded these human rights standards. And also with this convention, we'll have the opportunity not to look at only human rights when we get older, but the intersection of who we are as individuals, meaning gender, our sexual orientation, our ethnicity, our varying abilities can all build into these human rights consideration. So that's why we really want to have a UN convention that's universal, a standard set of laws that no matter where we are in the world, that there is that this particular standards and principles that would be embedded to protect and recognize us in older age.
Well, I'm going to use a word that you use very frequently, and that is intersectional, because this, I think, is what elevates what's happening today. And we're going to talk about the Age with Rights Global Campaign a little bit. But first, let's take a look at this intersectionality. Many people push back when it comes to human rights of older persons, because they say, wait a minute, I look at the older persons, they've got enough rights. Why do we need a declaration? Why do we need a treaty? Why do we now something even greater, a convention? But I think that this area of intersectionality and the gaps in human rights is really what we're after in terms of closing those gaps. Explain to us what you mean when you say intersectionality and how it relates to the human rights of older persons.
Thank you, Adrienne, for an opportunity to delve into more of this. When we look at intersectionality, for example, in the case of older women, So currently, we actually have a convention, a treaty, relative to prohibiting discrimination against women, which is really great. We needed that, and it's there to support us. It was adopted back in a time when the whole equity issue around women rights is centered on gender equality. So it's done that great job of, you know, putting the playing field there more evenly based on our gender between men and women. Because when we look at all the different standards in there, that's what it outlines. But it doesn't consider what happens when we get older as a woman. So, for example, we know that through social and health policy research and evidence that, you know, women lives longer, that there could potentially be more of a financial security gap because women, you know, during the life course take time off, you know, for family and so forth, or caregiving. So the circumstances of a person when they're older, based on the identity, not only of age, right, what's needed relative to age right. And aging issue, but as an older person really comes into play, and we need to recognize that. The same for someone who is from the LGBTI community. You know, we hear stories of older person who, you know, who come out of the so-called closet and is proud of their identity and orientation. But as they get older and they go, you know, back into, let's say, for example, a long-term care home, they then start to have some fears and they hide their identity because of the potential abuse and so forth. So we really need to recognize those issues that are intersectional relative to our identity with age when we get older. And the key is that, you know, when we're younger, you know, we have, you know, we also recognize a child and their rights and the intersectionality that happens at that point for a child. So we must do the same as we get older and look at human rights as a life course approach. I hope
and
that
you
helped.
Know, it's so wonderful in terms of self-esteem. Because just that sort of configuration helps fight ageism in this sense. What happens when you get older is you become a monolith. Everybody looks at you as the same. Once that gray hair or the equivalent of that gray hair comes in, there are assumptions made by people. And as if everyone who's older, and yet one of the great gerontologists of the world, Janet Sayner, said, every baby is the same, but every senior is different. So what Margaret is saying here is when we look at the intersectionality, the confluence of traits, yes, you're older, but you're also a woman. Yes, you might be an LGBT community person. Yes, you might be somebody who had a disability all their life and remained very strong with that disability. And now you're older and they only see you as disabled. Whereas when you were younger, it wasn't the case. So we have to take all these things into consideration. And there is a campaign or a movement going on. And Margaret is one of those folks at the center of it. It's called the Age with Rights Global Campaign. And it's for this UN convention. But it has many components. One of them is a rallying cry, Age with Rights, and lots of hashtags. So tell us a little bit about that, Margaret.
Yes, the Age of Rights campaign is launched by the Global Alliance for the Rights of Older People. And as the chair of the Global Alliance, I'm really excited and really thankful that, the Alliance members, organization members, as well as non-members have come together, in terms of this, rallying cry for a new convention. And for the campaign. So with the Age of Rights campaign, it's really founded on a couple of key principles that human rights are inherent to all human beings, no matter where we are, that, you know, as we age, our rights evolve, right? Because our rights protection need to evolve because of complexity of aging. And most importantly, that the existing international frameworks on human rights does not provide consistent coverage on human rights of older people, and that there are gaps in laws and practices relative to aging issues. So the campaign Age of Rights rally, the rally cry, is launched by and is actually founded with input from the Alliance members. And there are a couple of key components. First is, of course, like as you mentioned, Adrian, the hashtag.
Age with rights hashtag. It's all over the place. That's one of them, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the other two signature activities, one is called the video campaign. So we have started a campaign where any person, older person, younger person, you know, NGO advocates, families can do a 2-minute video to share their thoughts about, you know, what the current gaps are on human rights to older person, and have a platform to make their call for the UN Convention. So that's a video campaign. And the second is actually a global rally. As we progress in the movement for human rights of older persons, there's always activities on the ground, right? Nationally, regionally. But what the Alliance members felt was that it's important to have a moment in time where we all come together and cry out loud to member states at United Nations that we want that convention. So we launched Global Rally in 2022 in March, because April is when we meet at the UN in New York, right? To discuss the convention.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that open-ended working group in just a minute. So there was a big meeting that we will discuss, and that took place in April, and that was very, very interesting. Go right ahead, Margaret.
Yes. So with the Global Rally, what it is anyone can organize an activity. And we've seen it ranging from anywhere from, let's say, a radio talk show to a ageism kind of discussion to virtual rallies on different topics relative to human rights, as well as the street marches. We actually see street marches. And what's really, what really inspired me about this is that people, organizations from different parts of the world, like more than 30 events took place, more than 28 countries covering all regions. So as I said, older people and NGOs, as well as National Human Rights Institution, did rallies. And in this year, in 2023, just to signal how strong the movement is growing, the social media reach double last year's and have reached 2.8 million people in that week of the global rally.
Actually, it's more than doubled. It was 1.2 million that you reached, which is good enough in 2022. And then it's 2.8 million in 2023.
Right.
So let's get those numbers straight, because this is fascinating stuff. So because we talk about on this show, we talk about what's working. This is working. So how do people, is there a link they should go to? I know that you're on Twitter and LinkedIn, of course, but is there a website people should go to if they want to be part of this incredible movement?
Yes, absolutely. The website for the Global Alliance, or as we so fondly call it, GAROP, is www.rightsofolderpeople.org.
So, rightsofolderpeople.org.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah.
Now, let me say, we're going to take a little bit of a break for some news you could use. When we come back, I want to talk about some regional advocacy. And again, this is such a fantastic example of what's working in civil society and NGOs and governmental interventions, because I know that things have occurred all over the world, from Spain, other parts of Europe, Asia, and so on. And we're going to highlight some of those things. In Bangladesh, older persons associations are extremely active. We really are creating a movement here with you and many like you as the centerpiece. But the key is, how can everybody who's not part of it get involved? Don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be right back. And now, news you can use. One of the Sustainable Development Goals, SDG 11 of the United Nations, is to create sustainable and friendly cities, smart cities, age-friendly, cities that hone down the characteristics of access and equity, built in the environment for all. Now, that may be a concept that you're not quite familiar with or can't pin down for your own location. Here's some news you can use. WHO and King's College London issued a report on what makes a city age-friendly, what makes a city sustainable. Who came out on top? Well, London. The mayor of London's London Plan, 2006, accompanies a strategy for valuing everyone in the community. For those of you who want to learn more about that, you can take a look at the NGO Committee on Aging New York's latest newsletter. You'll find that at ngocoa-ny.org. Read the newsletter and get a real view of what the sustainable SDG 11 for cities really means. And we are back, and we are again with Margaret Young. You heard her speak about the global rally. You heard her speak about the efforts of GARUP. She's the chair of GARUP. She's the founder of Age Noble. And she's one of those folks who are involved in so many things from the beginning, coming from private enterprise. She's an award-winning, really a banker, a person who understands funding and finance, and has moved all of those considerable talents to the world of making change and helping you make positive change in the world. So let's pick this up. Positive change, indeed. Sometimes you hear about these campaigns, and honestly, they are just media campaigns. And you did mention, we did talk about the fact that almost 3 million folks were reached through the media here. But things are happening on the ground, on the ground. For example, in Spain, in Bangladesh. Tell us some of the highlights, some of the things that actually thrilled you about what's going on with regional advocacy.
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, for example, in Spain, a campaign was launched. It was actually a petition campaign where there was you know, some material highlighting the need for a convention, and there was active advocacy on the ground. The campaign was launched spring this year, and as of mid-June, 49,000 signatures were collected. And it's still going strong the NGOs work on that. In Bangladesh, what we're really looking at too as a shining example is the involvement of older people. The older person associations are very active in Bangladesh. They have, NGOs engage them in advocacy on policy as well as human rights. And with this connected advocacy, in the latest session of the open-ended working group on aging, Bangladesh voiced their support for the convention and for the intersessional work. So that's very important. A few other interesting national and regional advocacy examples, not to say they're complete lists because there are lots of great
no,
work
it's
out
a big
there.
List, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, in the U.S., six national NGOs came together and wrote to the U.S. ambassador urging support to start drafting a convention. So that's the power of what NGOs can hold in terms of the relationship and the members that back them in terms of this call. But when we think more at an individual level, over 2,000 women in Switzerland, older women, actually sued the Swiss government at the European yes. Court of Human Rights.
Right. I call that our generation of older women wows, wild old women. And there they were suing. No, yeah. You got the power, you use it. Go ahead.
And what they are suing for is for the violation of their right to life and the right to health. And the issue behind it is that global warming, climate change, the Swiss Alps are starting to melt very quickly, and this causes mm-hmm. higher temperature and heat waves. And it's known that these two environments actually cause older people's health to quicken in terms of deterioration when they're chronic issues, and it increases mortality rate. So what the older women are suing for is the fact that the government is not taking measures to reduce greenhouse gas emission and therefore putting their health and life at risk.
It's so interesting, Margaret. In our last podcast, we interviewed Kazuki Yamada. And he was with WHO. He's with the World Health Organization, working particularly on the decade of healthy aging. And one of the things he mentioned right there was this confluence of aging and the environment and climate change. And here, through what's going on with the global rally, here are 2,000 women in the country of Switzerland, the last country you would have expected, perhaps, to be extremely vocal in this area, because we do think of it as a country that has the human rights that's needed by most. But no, the confluence of this is becoming a real movement. And I have to say, I was in Korea this year, and one of the things that Margaret taught me was that they have a regional platform focused on Asia and Europe, where they're getting researchers together to convene dialogues among themselves. So much is happening. Before we go on to the open-ended working group, one more thing that impressed you about regional advocacy, because I know you're this is where your heart is.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to pick which ones to kind of highlight.
So much happened.
I know, but I think I want to share an example in the Indian Ocean's islands, where they're, you know, they put together a trifactor that drive the success toward the Mauritian government being in favor of a UN convention at the UN. And the trifactor is human rights education. So that's throughout primary high schools and even with police forces, people who work with older people. Human rights education. Second one is grassroots advocacy, together with media outreach. So during the global rally, they were, you know, passing out pamphlets, getting onto radio show. And also the important is that they always have multi-stakeholder meetings with the government. So these three different factors bring together society, bring together, action, as well as bring together that dialogue with the government that's needed to really, you know, be persuaded to speak up and stand for the UN Convention in the UN spaces.
Well, you know, you said the magic words, which is radio. I find radio very powerful, obviously. And what I want to turn our attention to right now, Margaret, is the open-ended working group on aging. Why? Because this, of course, is recorded. And come 2024, there's going to be another reconvening of that open-ended working group, probably in April again of 2024. And that makes this show extremely relevant. Not only will it be aired when we normally would have it on our schedule, but it's a great show to play right before this. It does have an impact. So explain in the next couple of minutes what the open-ended working group is, and then we'll take a break. We come back. We'll really talk about what they're doing and what our expectation is, fingers crossed, for 2024. What's the open-ended working group?
Yeah, so the open-ended working group on aging at the UN was established by the General Assembly in 2010. So as we know, the open-ended at the UN, it's 193 member states participating, so everybody agrees to have this working group, which is really great. And its mandate is to look at existing framework of human rights internationally, the human rights of older persons, identify the gaps, and recommend how best to address them in terms of these gaps. And within this working group, there is a civil society, older people, NHRIs working together with the independent expert on the full enjoyment of human rights, as well as UN Department of Economic Social Affairs and the UN Commission on Human Rights. So a forum that really has all the right players coming together to discuss and work on the issues.
Now, this April in 2023, I did attend, and it was a wonderful experience. I heard the pros and cons. I heard the conflicts. But what was most important is that a core group was convened, and they have been appointed, and they are working on finding the gaps so they can be articulated in a potential convention. Now, we'll take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back with Margaret Young, the chair of GARUP, the founder of Age Noble, and somebody who has really put together in a concise way, and will hopefully be publishing some of her work on the history of this open-ended working group and what it could accomplish. And when we come back, we're going to ask Margaret what she thinks the future is going to look like with regard to the work of the open-ended working group and a convention. Don't you go anywhere. And now, news you can use. What will you name your robot? meet Amika, Grace, and Sophia, some of the more than 50 robots that attended the UN-driven AI for Good Global Summit. It's all part of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals set out in the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And you know, the artificial intelligence, the AI, is sprouting new powerful learning abilities, not just for business, but for those who want to make change in our global world. The nations are working on strategies to govern it, and according to the International Telecommunication Union, which is hosting a two-day summit, the showcase of new technologies will really be able to help us sustain those goals so focused by the United Nations. And we are back with our guest, Margaret Young, very sadly in our last segment, but we have a lot to cover. And we are always very inspired by Margaret whenever we see her, because she was an award-winning corporate professional and is now an agent of change. And she's become very specific, very focused on the well-being and the human rights of older persons as the founder of Age Noble, a Canadian social good enterprise that works with so many others, as the chair of the Global Action for the Rights, the Global Alliance for the Rights of Older Persons, we call it GARIP, and the Pass It On Network, and others. Now, a couple of things. We're talking about real things that are going on in real life. One of them in September of this year is going to be a council meeting, and we want to talk about that. And then we'll go on to the April 2024 open-ended working group. So you have said to me, even during the break, look, let's say a few words about this council. It's very significant. So tell us about it.
Yes. So the other UN space, international space, where the human rights of older person is making some advancements is in Geneva at the Human Rights Council. So in particular, I'll just get right to the point. In early 2022, the UN Human High Commission of Human Rights completed a report, an overview, on the standards that exist today in international law relative to human rights of older person. And the review actually showed that, once again, that the existing frameworks are fragmented, there's inconsistent coverage in law and practices, and that a new comprehensive integrated human rights framework is needed. Then in 2022, the latter part of 2022, a multi-stakeholder meeting took place at the Human Rights Council with member state representatives, treaty bodies, the independent experts, once again, civil society, and national human rights institutions to discover the findings of this review and make recommendation. So we're hopeful that this September session coming up in 2023, we'll have an opportunity to hear the recommendations and support those recommendations coming up. So that's the significance of what's happening at the Human Rights Councils in September.
Well, now, of course, we have a group. We have a working group that's actually looking at these gaps, and they may be taking into consideration what's coming out of that council and many, many, many other places. And there, the mandate, we'll call it, is to meet again in 2024 at the United Nations to have a full several days, maybe a whole week, of continually hearing from the various governments, the various missions, and each other, and really identify what a convention should look like, what it should cover. Now, what are your hopes for this? I think people who are not aware of this may not know that this is going on for about 20 years, and these open working groups for, I guess, about 12. And now we seem to have a breakthrough. And I believe it may simply be because of statistics. We are simply growing older, and the greatest demographic of growth is people over the age of 85. And it's not just in the United States. It's all over the world, including developing nations. So this is an issue. What do you think is going to happen? And let's put it also, what would you wish would happen?
Yes, it's as you said, the 2024 session is going to be quite pivotal, because at the end of April in 2023, the core group that you referred to earlier, Adrian, has recommended a proposal that was adopted to do some intersessional work, meaning from now to next year, specifically to identify gaps and specifically the recommendations. So your question might be, well, what's been happening in the past? Well, in the past, what we did was we looked at topical issues. So we looked at, for example, health and drilled in on those type of rights. The significance of this intersessional work is an opportunity to bring it all together, have it clearly laid out so that options in terms of recommendation can be looked at very clearly. And the significance within this process, this intersessional work process, is that NGOs and older persons together with NHRIs have the opportunity and the responsibility to actually participate in the call for inputs. Because as I kind of said, you know, earlier, we need to highlight not only the human rights issue relative to aging, you know, right to health, right to housing and whatnot, but really the intersectionality within that, what the differences is, so that it's a robust picture, so that member states meaning like our governments, can see clearly what's needed from our different regional country perspective as well as our individual perspective. So the work will be starting soon. And on the website of the Global Alliance for the Rights of Older People, we actually started to kind of document some of the, you know, why is the decision being made? What are some of the consideration, the process moving forward? So we really would love more people to join this call for input. Come to the page, you know, www.rightsofolderpeople.org to kind of check out what's happening, stay on top of the progress. And if you're interested in hosting any workshops to facilitate call of input with older people or community organizations, please email us at info@rightsofolderpeople.org, because we're kind of thinking through, like, you know, do we put together some resources to support these facilitation, what they may need to be. So email us with your interest, because we really want to get as many voices, as many diverse voices to be heard through this process, so that when we come to the table next year as a group in 2024, we can really reflect what's needed and get the start on the drafting of a convention.
And you can see that one of the things that's working, one of the reasons that Margaret Young has been so effective, GARP has been effective, and in fact, everyone in part of this movement has been more effective than they have been for, let's call it 20 years, and certainly 12 years, is because there was a recognition of a coalition. When we talk about intersectionality, and we say, well, the rights of older women, as opposed to the rights of people, human rights of people who are aging, we get input from those advocacy groups that deal with gender. When we say the rights of older men, we get input from those advocacy folks that are dealing with that focus. Same with LGBTI, same with the people who have some disability. And that's what elevates, I think, Margaret, this year above all other years, that it was not only about aging, it was about who is aging, so that we could get a buy-in or recognition of camaraderie and coalition from all kinds of organizations that say, yes, we might be focusing on the environment. We might be focusing on climate change, but ought not we also focus on those folks and how they're affected by climate change? And if they happen to be folks who are older, well, then we have a coalition there. So this is the strength. And before we leave, I do have to ask you, Margaret, in terms of your next steps, tell everybody the websites again, right? And what you think your next program will be or project will be to further this cause.
Right. So once again, the GARP website is www.rightsofolderpeople.org. I think more broadly, when I think about what needs to happen, and I'm not the only person of point of view, of course, but just looking from my vantage point, we need to bring three things to the table. One, we need more older people speaking up for their rights, for their circumstance. And we need to do away with the perception that older people are always vulnerable and therefore don't want to speak up. Because in the work that I do at Age Noble, I've seen this very differently. Older people have different way to engage in social activism, and they do that. In one of the consultations I did for the Canadian National Consultation on Ageism, an older person who attended one of my workshops said, you know, amongst all the things we do, well, maybe it's a ministerial thing about rights of seniors that we need to embed into law. And that's said by an older person in their 70s. So absolutely older people can stand up. We need to create the opportunity and their voice and in an accessible way, right? So that, you know, they can speak up. Second, civil society, meaning older people, NGOs need to work with NHRIs and the countries together more, because NHRIs have the role to protect and call out when there are issues and protection gaps and come to the table. And older people, NGOs, civil society, be it academia, human rights lawyers, human rights researcher, we are the watchdog. We call out with life experiences and evidence when things are wrong in human rights and there's social injustice. The last one, really just more people coming together for the movement, as we've been saying, as you've been saying, Adrian.
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
Like, reach out to the consumer, reach out to the people. We now say, and you've taught us to say, nothing about us without us. So
nothing
reach
about
out to us.
Yes. Nothing about us without us. But also, most important, nothing about us, older people without older people. Yes. So we need intergenerational voices saying that. We need frontline workers who work with older people, you know, speaking up, age of rights, right? Human rights lawyers, researchers, and so forth. So we really need everybody into this picture, because that, or the fact that we'll all grow old is not a concern only for older people at a certain time in a certain place. It's a concern for all of us.
And I thank you so much. And you have rallied us for the cause. And you know how I like to end all of my podcasts. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. This is Adrian Berg saying goodbye for now from On the Ground. See you soon.